One thing I do hear from people is that whenever they open our podcast in their podcast player, they're like, fuck, there's so many new episodes. So I think we should just go down to one a week.
A longer one?
Maybe do like 3 or 4 questions, yeah.
Maybe they should just be more diligent about listening to new episodes when they come out, you fucks.
Possibly, but also it'd be a lot easier for us to put out one a week instead of two.
Well, whatever's easier for us, that's what counts. So in honor of late Pride Month.
Wait, was it in June?
In belated celebration of Pride Month.
Which was almost a month ago.
Correct. You see, folks, we queue up these questions and we don't know when we're going to record them. Yeah. So we're a little late on this one. But the question is, can you rate dudes as a dude?
As far as attractiveness?
Yeah, like how's your judge of hotness on the same sex?
Okay, so I think it's pretty good. But then I watched The Bachelorette with my wife and her friends, and they disagree with me about a lot of things.
Totally. I'm in the exact same boat.
Yeah.
Like, I think I know what attractive is.
Yeah.
And like, I would be able to rate most dudes, but like, it's apparently way off to what, like, how girls see faces or something.
I think women are just wrong.
I agree. As in most things in life. But no, like we can all agree, like, Brad Pitt or Jason Momoa is hot.
Yeah.
And like, and we're in agreement with the females on that. But it's when we get to the slightly middle of the road area.
Yeah.
That things start going every which way that I don't understand.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you. I agree fully. Do you remember the OKCupid blog where they would talk about like the statistics of their website? This was like...
Vaguely.
So this was like early internet-ish, but they would...
Was that when they revealed like how shitty short guy stats are?
Yes, yes, yes. And all kinds of stuff like that. And they stopped doing it after they got bought by Match, probably because Match was like, this is not going to end people. Well. Like,
yeah.
But it was awesome. And one of the things that they found is that the average rating of a man by a woman is like way low. Like, all dudes are way low on their 1 to 10 scale. And then the very hottest are 10s. And then everyone else is like a 1. There's no
interesting
spread.
The middle ground is just demolished.
There's no spread at all. So like, that's probably part of why we don't understand, or like, we're confused by what women think of men.
Yeah, maybe.
Because it's like binary. Like, there's no...
Yeah. Do you think that's because we're just so much more... open to fucking things?
Yes. I do think that that's why. Like, yeah. I don't know, like, when I see a girl that is not necessarily attractive, I will often like try and pick out something that I do think is attractive. Yeah. And better.
How can I make this work?
Yeah,
for me?
I thought I was just being like nice and kind. But I think you're right. I think it's just like, we need to find something to get.
I'll find a way.
Yeah,
as Louis would say.
Yeah, so like, I don't know, that OKCupid blog post was like a little bit eye-opening for me, because you have to be the cream of the crop or you're just meh. Like, there's nothing, there's no in between.
Right. That sucks.
Yeah.
But then there's also the factor of like, you can make yourself attractive to women, which guys don't really have that power a lot, or it doesn't work the other way around, like, a lot of the time. Like, right. If a girl's ugly and she has whatever skills or like really high self-confidence or something, it's really hard to bring her around to fuckable.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but okay.
Where it's hard, it's definitely harder.
Okay.
Whereas you can be just a bald fat dude and have either just incredible swagger or something.
Yeah.
Extreme intelligence.
Charming, funny.
Yeah.
Money.
Exactly. All these things can factor back into your hotness somehow in their brain.
Well, yeah, that's the thing is like most you're drinking beer loudly on mic.
Was that a good glug?
It was a good glug. Most women are still with a guy. So if they all, if OkCupid stats are true and they're like, they don't find most men attractive or like,
right.
I don't know.
Then on average, the average woman is dissatisfied
yeah.
with the level of attractiveness.
Yeah. So they can get past how meh their boyfriends and husbands are with skills or funniness or whatever. So right. that's very hopeful for men. Because you don't necessarily need to be attractive. Like they'll rate you poorly on the attractive scale. And like they
still know you're ugly.
Yes.
They're just
you just have to live with that yeah. and realize that you have other things to offer.
Right.
But the question was, can you rate men's attractiveness? And I think men are better at it than women. Like I honestly think maybe that's the case.
We're actually more objective.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's probably fair. I mean, I've never doubted the fact that I can rate dudes. It's just that my rating system seems to be so, very dude oriented.
It's like so incorrect.
Does it bother you when like this question has come up, I'm sure, in your life at okay. some point? Like, does it bother you when someone says like, no, I can't rate dudes, man. Like that's like they think it's gay or they just pretend yeah. like their brain just won't go there.
It does bother me. I think it's an old-fashioned attitude and also wrong. Like, you can tell.
Yeah.
You're being so... I don't know. I don't even know the word, but, like, you're just so afraid to suggest that you might
yeah.
find a dude attractive.
Yeah, that's toxic masculinity right there.
Yeah, definitely.
If you won't admit to wanting to suck some dick, that's toxic masculinity.
You just choked on the word toxic. Do you have a dick in your mouth at the time?
I wish, man. I fucking wish. This episode is brought to you by Corona.
I want to see if I can get a glug glug on the mic, ready?
That's good. I think you lost your lime, though. Sweaty.
Yeah, you should be, because these are my next questions on my list are very serious, so we'll see how we do with these.
Ugh, get out the sponge for okay. a bath.
This first one's been on my list for a while, and I think I've been too afraid to have it be out there in the world, so
oh no,
let's just try it. What is your worst quality?
I don't know. How do I pick? They're all so bad.
I'll start. I think, well, first of all, I don't know if you can pick your own worst quality. I think you might have to have someone else pick it for you, because unless you're very self-aware.
Yeah.
But first of all, procrastination has always been a big issue of mine. Like,
okay.
I will put things off for whatever reason. Like, it's so hard for me to start things until the deadline is looming.
Yeah.
And that's like never been advantageous in my life. Although in like college and stuff, it did give me a lot of free time and I still passed with flying colors. So maybe that's where it came from. I don't know.
Yeah. I have the same problem of putting things off, and the problem it's always been for me that it's never like mattered enough
yeah
to like actually make me learn
yeah
and it's I mean it's probably contributed to me developing this nihilistic attitude towards everything, but yeah, like people would always tell you have to study beforehand or you have to do the assignment, start yeah. the assignment a week out from the due date, and I never would.
Yeah.
And I'd still get an A.
yeah.
And then here we are.
Yeah. And like that's the classic, I feel like that's the classic pattern that becomes a procrastination problem, is like it's still worked out.
Yeah. Too smart early on.
Yeah.
Equals lazy later on.
Yeah. And like I am not calling myself smart today by any means.
No, me neither. Like, I could have been smart if I applied, yeah, if I was less procrastinating with, yeah, my younger smartness.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's too late now.
Yeah. What about practicing things like instruments and stuff?
I have like a super OCD practice ethic that when I really get into something, I do it way too much.
Yeah.
Which is not really any better than like neglecting to practice, because then I'll do it so much that I do it wrong, or,
right, yeah,
or do it till I hate it.
Yeah. I also get obsessive with things, and like whether it be an idea or like learning how to do a specific thing on an instrument or whatever. So I feel like that counteracts the procrastination sometimes, but also isn't, like you said, isn't necessarily good, like, because, uh-huh, it might not be a valuable thing, but I'll just like want to get real good at that one small thing.
Yeah.
Like the other day I was playing Mario Kart Time Trials, and we had a friend staying with us at the time, and she was like, what are you doing? Like, what? This is the dumbest. You're just racing yourself over and over and over and over. Like,
yeah, you, bitch. You've been goddamn doing this, right,
for almost an hour. Like, it's the same track. And I'm like, yeah, I'm shaving milliseconds off every time.
Yeah. Parents and women just don't understand.
Well, I've read before that men are far more likely to do that, to like, whether it's a game or whatever, like practice something over and over and over, like obsessively until, yep, they get good at it.
Okay.
And I guess a lot of women don't have that, like they don't care to do that. And that, I feel like that was a really good example, because she was just like, I don't get why you're like, is it fun? Like, what is the... And I'm like, it is a little fun. Like, every time I shave a millisecond off, it's an accomplishment.
It's, it's fun in a way, but it's also anti-fun not to do it. Yeah. So that's the more important side.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel a small voice eating at me when those milliseconds are still on the table.
Yeah. I like, you just, I don't know, you just want to get really, really good at one odd thing.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes I carve a deep trench in my brain and just can't get out of it.
Yeah,
for a long time. But okay, what's my worst quality? I would say it's probably like, have you know the saying that comparison is the
thief of joy?
Yeah. That's my whole existence. I get jealous, comparative.
Yeah.
Envious.
I
leads to a lot of unhappiness.
I definitely have that problem as well. And I think social media exacerbates it by a lot.
Social media is the jet fuel of comparison.
Yeah.
The comparison engine.
And like, it's so unhealthy, because you get mad at these people who don't know you. You don't really know them. They're just, you know, posting things on Twitter about their success or whatever. And like, I'm like, oh, you dick. Like, you... And I don't know if they don't deserve it or do or what, but yeah. I just want it. And I know I didn't get there. So
yeah. The why not me mentality only serves to make you sad. Like, there's no end to it. When you get into it, there's always going to be, yeah, someone above,
and yeah,
it just never ends. So
do you think the people who are the best in the world at something are relieved of that though?
No. No, dude, they're the most tortured by that.
But they're,
because
but
they,
what if they're ranked number one, like, is it not over?
Well, no, well, here's multiple reasons why not. Like, first of all, you know that that's in them. Like, there was a time when they weren't,
yeah,
number one.
Yeah.
So it took all of that to get to number one.
Yeah.
So you know that that beast is alive and well in their psyche.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that when you reach the top, you ever even believe you're the top, for one.
Right. Like, so you don't think there's anybody who's reached number one in something and like hung their hat up with pride and been like, I've done
it. Oh, I'm sure there is. And I envy that person.
And I hate them even more.
And they're the worst.
Yeah.
But you can get to the top and not believe you've made the top, or you can just, you can reach the top and then live in constant fear of being overthrown.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, I don't know. I kind of doubt that any of them, once overthrown, are like, well, you know, I did it and I had it for a bit and it's okay. Like, they're just super sad.
Honestly, the best person I've heard talk about this is Mike Tyson, who's right. just like, I don't care anymore about being the champ. Like, once, like, that is so over for me.
Yeah.
Like, I've totally removed myself from like the identity of a boxer.
Yeah. I feel like you kind of have to be healthy.
Yeah.
If you're, I don't know, if you have a goal, and especially if you hit it, like, you got to be like, okay, I put that on my shelf now and it's over. But like you said, I don't think that a lot of people who get there are capable of that.
And like, for some people, like, that's their whole thing. Like, their whole existence to live is climbing that whatever ladder. And then when they reach the top, it can be like an existential crisis.
Right. Yeah. It's, well, I mean, it's like that with anything that you make your identity, though. Like, even people who have diseases sometimes make the disease their identity, and then when they're cured, they're sad.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of cancer patients go through, like, I don't know, a small depression after they're cured, because they're like, now what do I do? Like, my whole life was on this track, right? Yeah, I don't know. What do you do to cure that in yourself, though? Is there a way, or are you just burdened by it forever?
I think you just got to go live in Africa for like a week.
Yeah.
And then you'll be so much more thankful. Like, every time I go on vacation, like, the week that I come back, I'm like, oh, what a beautiful, great country to live in. Fucking Uber Eats, whatever the fuck I want.
Uber Eats is the thing that makes you satisfied. I got
hot water right up there.
Yeah.
I got fucking, can drive a car around.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man, I don't know. I think that's a really hard beast to conquer. I feel like procrastination is one that we have more tools to try to work around in life than yours, which is more existential and much more difficult.
The tools for learning to work on your procrastination are more normalized, whereas working on this I would call it's almost a spiritual problem, the envy problem.
Yeah.
It's there's definitely ways to work on that, but a lot of them are religion based.
Yeah.
And therefore not valid.
Do you think that the seven deadly sins are valid? Because envy is one of them, right?
Yeah.
Do you think I think a lot of them are, it's a good list?
Yeah, mostly. What are they?
Oh, man.
I've only seen the movie Seven like three or four times, and not for a few years, so.
This is like when we were trying to remember the seven dwarves.
Yeah.
Like, we can probably do five of them, but the other two will escape us.
Gluttony.
Yeah.
Murder. Envy. Bashfulness? Dopiness.
Okay. Murder, envy, gluttony. Those are three that we have.
Yep.
Pride is one.
Yep.
Right?
Sloth.
Right. So, yes, we got to five.
Five?
Yes.
Oh. Dang. Wrath?
Okay.
Is the final sin
That's
at the end of the movie.
Just like anger, sort of?
No, it's revenge. It's I think wrath is like hurting something or like destroying something when you don't absolutely have to.
Okay.
So the demonstration of wrath at the end of Seven is that Brad Pitt shoots Kevin Spacey when he should just arrest him.
Oh. Yeah, okay. All right. I'm looking it up because I don't think we're gonna get there. Okay. Per Wikipedia, the seven deadly sins, also known as the capital vices, seven traits of man or cardinal sins.
I've never heard them referred to as the middle two of those.
Capital vices? I yeah, like it.
I know. Me too.
That's a good That's band a good, name.
I was going to say. Yeah. It's my first band name.
Okay. Okay. The one we missed is lust.
Oh.
Yeah. Pride, greed, lust, envy, gluttony, wrath, and sloth.
This isn't really even a question, but have you heard about the Area 51 raid?
Yes, and I do think we should talk about it. I think...
Are you joining?
We're going to have to find a question somewhere in this discussion just to put in the title of the podcast, but...
Should we raid Area 51? Go.
Done. No, I honestly know so little about this, so I really would like you to tell me...
Oh, perfect, because I've been waiting for this day for like 15 years.
So what was the spark that ignited the Area 51 fire?
I think it was the Bob Lazar documentary that came out on Netflix.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen it or even heard of it.
Well, Bob Lazar has been around for like 20 years.
Okay.
Or probably more, like telling this exact same story. And like...
He just got a well-produced documentary.
Exactly, yeah. Nobody's ever taken him seriously enough to like actually make a proper whatever. Like he's... If you go back, like I've seen everything there is to see on like ancient aliens and fucking UFOs and shit. Like, so he pops up in... just about everything, but everything's so low budge that
right,
like he's not a household name.
Yeah.
So this, I guess, probably propelled him to that.
Yeah. So what is his thesis in this documentary?
His quote unquote thesis is that he worked at Area 51 for I think only really like a few months.
Okay.
Before like quitting because he didn't feel comfortable that he was working on all this UFO shit.
Right.
And like the public wasn't aware.
Okay. So he's a whistleblower of sorts.
Yeah, exactly. Like he basically came out to a news guy like at the time, I think in probably like, I don't know, 70s or something.
Yeah.
And has just been basically promoting his story ever since.
Okay. And what is his story? What does he say is going on there?
He said he worked on UFOs. He said they have like nine UFOs in the hangar where he was working.
Like ships.
Yeah, full-on flying saucers type things.
Yeah.
He says he worked on like a propulsion system that was basically a gravity machine.
Okay, cool.
And some other cool details. But like, some of it seems pretty far-fetched, but some of it is like coming out as verifiable. Like, for instance, he describes like a really cool futuristic palm reader. Like biometric scanner for your hand.
Yeah.
That he'd been talking about for like so long, and then it just recently was declassified that one of the bases in the Area 51 area has one of these scanners, and there's now a picture of it that's public, and he's like, That's the one.
Okay. And that's he's saying that's alien tech?
Or he's not saying that's actually alien tech, but it's like it's a weird detail that kind of proves that he knows what he's talking about.
Okay. And that was just something that they were working on then.
Yeah, just like a classified
cool
little thing they had.
Yeah. Okay. So this Netflix thing comes out. How did it get from there to we're raiding Area 51? Like I saw a lot of shit on Reddit about Area 51, but like mostly it was jokes and stuff. Like I don't...
Yeah.
What's the journey from this documentary to there's a scheduled raid
on? I don't really know, honestly. I think it's more like just the UFO community has now had this like giant bolstering from like new fans coming in.
Right.
And they're all like it's just a nice storm of people finding out at the same time that they want to invade Area 51.
Yeah.
And the buzz is strong enough that it's like actually making front page on Reddit. Like people have wanted to raid Area 51, UFO enthusiasts forever.
Yeah. Are we going to go? Like what?
It seems like more of a joke. Like, I don't know that anyone's serious enough, but they have organized like a meeting date in a nearby, like the adjacent town to Area 51. Apparently they're getting together at a specific date and time. So to all march down there together.
They're going to march down there and try to get through the...
And get shot to fuck. Like the army or whatever has like released official statements saying we strongly advise you keep the fuck away. You know what we do here, right? It's trained army personnel. It's all we are here.
Yeah.
We're going to fuck anyone up.
Yeah, but like, can they just kill people? Like, what will they do?
Honestly, I wouldn't put it past them to maybe kill like one or two people.
Right.
But obviously, it's like anything. Like, I wish we could do this with more things.
Yeah.
Where people would organize and get things accomplished under the guise that they can't kill us all.
Yeah, Area 51 seems like a waste as far as like what's going on exactly. In the world.
That's so true. If we were going to rally around anything.
Yeah, it should not be Area 51, especially not Area 51, because Area 51 has been in the media for so long. They've moved all the real shit.
I know.
From there.
that's the hilarious plot hole of all this thing is that we gave them months notice about this raid. So
I mean, we gave them months notice about the raid, and we gave them decades notice about knowing that there might be something going on there.
Yeah.
So if they haven't moved the actual alien stuff out of there, then that's totally on them. But they they definitely have. Like, it's not in a place where we know of now.
I don't know that they did move it, because it's almost like the perfect excuse now at this point. Like, obviously we moved it, guys. Don't even bother coming in here.
So you think the government's take...
We'd be so dumb not to move the saucers, guys. Come on.
So you think the government has password as their password, basically?
Yeah, because that's the last thing we'd ever guess.
Yeah, I'm going to go with no on that. I think it's in some mountain in the Rockies or something at this point, and we have no idea where it actually is. And Area 51, they probably just use for what they say they use it for, like just training and like new flight tech.
My best guess is that they have like a normal operation going on at one level.
Right.
And then there's a deep, deep underground level where the shit is.
Okay, so say that's true. The raid is not going to get to the deep.
No.
Like, it's not going to get that far.
At best, you cross the fence on the surface.
Yeah.
Before getting gunned down.
Which is like
down.
A fake fence to begin with. Like, it's not, they don't care that you walked through that fence.
Yeah.
That's the first line. They're just, yeah. And then as soon as one person gets shot, it's not like it's going to strengthen the horde for this.
No, I think that's what everyone counts on, is that when you start to break out the anti-rioting measures, it disperses the crowd like every time.
Yeah.
Like, you all go in with the thought that they can't take us all out.
Yeah.
But that dissolves so quickly as soon as one or two people go down.
Yeah. And especially for this, like, secret alien tech, okay. But if it was an actual issue in the world, like if it was a march for like the stuff that's going on in China right now, like people are actually dying there for things they believe in, but nobody's going to die to see an alien face.
Oh, people will. Wait till you see the crowd that comes out for this raid.
I think we should go, honestly.
I'd love to go.
I want to go and be in the back of it. I don't actually want to cross any line.
We have shirts that say, I'm not with stupids.
Yeah, like, please don't. I'm just here for the show. We should just go as press or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.